Hey Mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. One of the hardest parts about being a mama in these early years is finding time to read the Bible, right? I'm not the only one in this. I know I'm not the only one. And I've noticed that Christian culture, probably mostly because of social media, has set this expectation, and it's kind of this unspoken expectation, that your devotional time needs to always be quiet and secluded and alone and this long, drawn-out thing. And while I do believe there is a place for that and we do need to have that alone time with God, I also know that that's just not always realistic for us mamas with littles in our homes in this season of life. And that is okay. The good news is that God is wherever we are, and He will meet us when we make space in our hearts for Him. So today I want to give you some encouragement surrounding your devotional time. Maybe you've been feeling a little discouraged lately. Maybe you've been feeling that pressure or feeling even maybe shame that, you know, I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't been, you know, doing what I feel like I should be doing or doing what I quote unquote am supposed to be doing. Maybe you've been a little bit discouraged. So I want to give you some encouragement today. And I also want to give you my step-by-step Bible study method that has really been working for me in this season with three kids, four and under. I've done a lot of different things over the years, but this method lately has just been really easy for me to stay consistent with, and it's also been really fruitful in my life. So I'm excited to share with you today. If you've been around for any length of time, you know that my skincare routine is so sacred to me. As a busy mama, it's hard to find time to take care of myself, but doing my skincare routine at the end of the day is something I look forward to every single day. It's like a little pocket of joy in my day, and we are all about finding those little pockets of joy here at Joy Filled. And that is why I have loved and used Primally Pure for years. Primally Pure's clean, non-toxic skincare is safe, effective, and has me feeling like I just came out of the spa every single night. Plus, my skin has never looked better. Primally Pure's variety of skincare collections makes it so simple to ensure you are using products that are targeted to your specific needs. Treat yourself to some new skincare and create another pocket of joy in your day with Primally Pure. Head to the link in the episode description and use code JENNA10 to save. There's this pressure and this expectation to have, and I'm using air quotes here, quiet time with God. And honestly, it can be a little bit discouraging for those of us that have young kids because, I mean, how often does quiet time happen in your house? Like it just in general, like just a time where nobody's talking. Because in my house, it's very rare. It's like 5 a.m. or 10 o'clock at night is when the house is quiet. And so, and I'm sure that the same is true for you. Maybe you feel, you know, like, oh, the only quiet time in my house is at 5 a.m., but I was up three times last night with the baby, and so 5 a.m. is not happening. I'm not doing that. I need to sleep. Mama needs her sleep. Or I'd love to wake up early, but somehow, no matter how early I wake up, my toddler seems to sense that I'm awake and join me, whether I wake up at 5 or 7 or 8 or 6, no matter what time I wake up, my toddler wakes up the same time. Can you relate? I hope that I'm not the only one. I know that I'm not the only one. It is a struggle to figure out when to fit in our quiet time, and especially with the added pressure of feeling like it really needs to be alone time without anyone else around, without any kids around us, without any distractions, it can feel like an impossible check off the to-do list. And I don't know everything about God, but I do know that He does not want to be a check off of our to-do list. He wants to be a priority, and He wants to be, you know, He wants us to come joyfully into His presence. And so I just wanted to share maybe a different perspective on quiet time. And I'm using air quotes because, like we've established, quiet time doesn't always happen in our homes, and that's okay. But I just want to share a different perspective. And God kind of revealed this to me and whispered this to my heart, and it's really changed how I approach Him and how I approach my time with Him. And He just kind of presented this question to my spirit. That's often how God speaks to me, is I just will get a thought, and I know that that thought is not from me, or I get a question in my head, and I know that that's not from me. And so I just started exploring this idea that what if our quiet time is not about a quiet external environment, but about a quiet heart? What if getting quiet with God wasn't actually dependent on your surroundings, but just quieting the inner parts of you to hear and receive from Him? How would that change the way that you approach quiet time? Because I know for me, it changes everything. I'm not so focused on getting my kids to cooperate, or, you know, making sure I have everything laid out perfectly, or waiting until, you know, I have the perfect environment, the perfect quiet space with, you know, my candle and my blanket and my coffee. You know, instead, I focus on quieting the things that are in my control, quieting my mind through prayer, asking God to, you know, clear my mind and allow me to focus on Him, quieting my phone, putting it away, quieting my to-do list, putting that away too, saying, no, this is important. This is more important than any list that I have. This is more important than any task that I have today. It really changes everything, because in this season of our lives, and it is just a season. I know I say that a lot. If you have been around here for any length of time, you've heard me talk about seasons and the seasons in our life. And this is a very important season in our life, but it's a season where things look different and we're not always able to do things the way everyone else does them. This is a season that calls for a lot of creativity in our lives, in our, you know, in the way that we get things done. Moms are often coined like the greatest multitaskers, because we're forced into this creativity, because we have tasks and to-dos, and we also have kids that need our attention, and neither one really stops needing us. And so it forces us to be creative. And the same is true in our quiet time, in our devotional time. We're forced to be creative. And so I want you to know too that God is not, we don't serve the Old Testament God where we had to, you know, go into the temple and sacrifice XYZ and do, you know, steps 1 through 5 to be able to meet with God, or to be able to be worthy of meeting with God. Like, we're under the new covenant, and we serve a God who is wherever we are, and He is not confined to, you know, the quiet time space. He's not confined to that. So yes, we want to read our Bibles, and yes, that's important. And hear me correctly, like, this is a priority in my life. I think it should be a priority in your life too, because everything is better when we are consistently in our word. You know, our mental health is better, our spiritual health is better, everything is better when we're in our word. But your relationship with God is not just, hear me correctly, it's not only reading your Bible. Like, there is so much more. And so the creativity in in this season of our lives, it can look like, and I've, like I said, I've talked about this before, but it can look like connecting with God through worship or connecting with God through prayer or, you know, those little breath prayers as you do the dishes or rock a baby to sleep. Like, God is everywhere and He is in it with you. He is in this season with you. He is rocking your baby with you. He is in the potty training with you. He is in the discipline with you. He is in the meal prepping with you. Like, He is so in it with you. He is walking alongside you. So I want you to know that, like, God sees you in this season and He is proud of you in this season, and He is just so much bigger than I think that we can confine Him to these little boxes. Like, we want to confine Him to our 30-minute quiet time or our prayer time. We want to put Him in the Sunday church box, but God is so much bigger than those boxes that we try to put Him in. And there is so much freedom and blessing that happens in our lives when we start to include Him in the everyday mundane things. So while this episode is about how I study the Bible, I also want you to hear that even if you have a day or a week where you don't make it to opening your Bible, that's okay. And God is bigger than that. And He can still meet you where you're at, even when you've got those busy seasons and those busy weeks and those days where it just doesn't happen. Like, God is so much bigger than that. And I want you to be encouraged in that. Don't let the pressure and the expectation that, you know, social media can create, like, we see these glimpses of people's lives and we see the little 15-second story of a Bible next to a flickering candle, or we see a real montage of, you know, studying the Bible and having this abundance of quiet time. But don't let those expectations and those pressures that so easily we can put on ourselves, don't let that discourage you. And remember that God is so much bigger than, you know, just the boxes that we try to put Him in. So that's your encouragement for the day. I hope that encourages you. Just remember that while, yes, it's important, these are important practices of a Christian life, also, God knows the season that you're in. Like, it's not a surprise to Him that you were up 5 times last night and you can barely keep your eyes open. Like, He's not surprised by that. And He's in it with you. And you can be connected to God and be close to Him especially in these seasons where, you know, it's really like you can't rely on your own strength because you're so exhausted or because, you know, whatever it is. So yes, reading our Bible is a daily practice of a Christian life, and there's so much fruit that comes from it. I also want you to be encouraged that it's not the only way that you connect with God. And so I want you to approach it with freedom, and approach it from a place of, gosh, I just want to know my Creator. I just want to know my Father, instead of from a legalistic point of view. So now, here is how I've been studying the Bible lately. You might be shocked at how simple it is, but I have really been loving it. And it's so funny. I was a couple weeks ago, I was talking to my husband and I was telling him, like, oh, I don't really have like a method lately for studying my Bible. I just do this and this and this and this. And he was like, yeah, that's a method. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right. Okay. So I know that there are tons of different methods and resources and different ways to approach studying the Bible. And I've done lots of different things over the years, but this is what is working really well for me in this season. So, number one, step one, pick a book of the Bible. Just whatever book you want, whatever book is catching your interest, pick a book of the Bible to start in. And step two, sit down with your Bible, a pen, highlighters, and maybe even a notebook. I don't always use a notebook, but I used to be really legalistic about making sure that I journaled my Bible reading. And then it became something that I didn't enjoy. I didn't enjoy having to write everything out. And so I don't always use a notebook, and that's okay in this season. And honestly, I don't always have time. Sometimes I'm like reading my Bible while I'm like trying to scarf my breakfast down while standing at the kitchen counter before, you know, the kids finish eating. So it's just, we make do. We get creative, right? Okay, so step one, pick a book of the Bible. Step two, sit down with your Bible, pen, highlighters, a notebook. And then step three, read one chapter, just one chapter all the way through. Step four, read that chapter again and highlight and note verses in the margins if you have space, or in a notebook if you don't have space. My Bible has awesome margins, which is why I don't always use a notebook, because I can write a lot of notes right there in my Bible, which I love because then I can look back on it, and unlike a notebook that I like lose or forget about or whatever. So read that chapter again and highlight, note any verses that stand out to you. And then what step are we on? Five? Step five, I think. Read that chapter again. So this is the third time you read it, and journal about it, do more highlighting, more note taking on it. Just really read it slowly and digest it. I even, sometimes I will even, on the second or third time, I will use the Enduring Word app. It's a Bible commentary app that I really like, and I will read just commentary on that chapter. And then the last step is I pick a verse to think on throughout the day and write it where you can see it. So I will either write it like on my to-do, my notebook, like at the bottom of my to-do list for the day, or sometimes I'll put it in a note in my phone. But just write it, pick a verse to think on, to meditate on, and write it where you can see it. And that is really it. I know it's very simple. It's not very scholarly, but it really works for me in this season, because I realized that I need to focus on quality, the quality of the reading that is happening, and not quantity. Like, I just kind of had this moment of like, why do I care so much about how much I'm reading? Like, is it an ego thing? Is it a pride thing? Is it to be able to say, like, I read four chapters a day? No. Like, that's silly. Because we read the Bible to know God's heart and to know our Creator and to know our Father. And so repetition and going slow is an awesome way to do that. Just going literally one chapter at a time and reading it multiple times over and over again. Like, I feel like I am digesting and learning so much more about, and remembering so much more about the Bible and the books that I'm reading than ever before, when I tried to just like skim through and check it off my list, or, you know, do my like soap method and check it off my list. I'm actually digesting, I'm actually remembering the things that I'm reading, and, you know, memorizing things. And it's just, I feel like the Bible is really, you know, being, I'm really meditating on it a lot more than I think probably ever before, because I just stopped caring about what everyone else was doing and how everyone else was reading their Bible, and decided to just do what worked for me. So use this as a starting place, definitely. Don't let all the different voices and methods for Bible reading overwhelm you. Don't even let my advice overwhelm you. Like, if this doesn't serve you, if this doesn't work for you, that's okay. Find what works for you and just meet with your Father. Strip away all the expectations, strip away all the pressure, and just get back to the basics of opening up the Word of God and saying, Lord, what do you have to teach me today? Teach me, make me more like you. Show me your Word. Teach me who you are. Like, just get back to the plain and simple. Stop overcomplicating it. Stop feeling guilt or shame for what you're not doing, and just start somewhere. Start small. Start with one chapter a day. If one chapter is too much, if that takes too much time, start with one or two verses. Like, there is no amount of reading that is too small. You know, it's just, it's about your heart. When we open our Bibles, it's about our hearts. It's not about checking off a list. It's not about how much you read. It's not about if you get your 30 minutes of quiet time or not. It's about your heart. It's about a heart that is positioned towards God and wanting to know Him and hear His voice and learn about Him and learn His Word. That's what it's all about. So Can I pray for you really quick before we go? God, I thank you so much for my sister. I lift her up to you today. God, if she's been discouraged about her Bible reading or lack thereof, God, I pray that you would just encourage her. God, that you would just speak encouragement to her heart, that you would remind her that it's okay, that this season is hard and you see her right where she's at. God, I pray any guilt that she's felt or any shame that she's felt would just leave in Jesus' name, because we know that that is not from you. And God, I pray that she would just start today with meeting with you, that she would strip away the pressure, take away the expectation, and just position her heart to be a heart that is chasing after you no matter what season of life. God, I thank you for her. I pray blessing over her. God, I pray that you would help her quiet her heart, that she wouldn't be so focused on quieting her environment or quieting her kids or quieting her surroundings, but she would focus on quieting her heart to hear and receive from you. God, I thank you. I bless her in Jesus' name. I pray blessing over her home. I pray blessing over her kids. And God, I pray that today would be the day that she starts to make changes in her life, to pursue you and to pursue daily time with you, that she would be the example for her kids, that they would begin to see what it looks like, a heart after you. God, that she would model that for her kids. And I just thank you so much for her. In Jesus' name, amen. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.